This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series. I'm still continuing the series on the power of words. Amen. Anybody getting a handle on their words, glory to God, thinking about what they're saying before they think about, before they say it, amen? And we need to be thinking about what we're saying. And the title of my sermon today is, Watch Your Mouth. Look at your neighbor and say, watch your mouth. Amen. Have you anybody ever told you that when you were saying something a little negative or maybe getting in an argument? You ever heard anybody say, watch your mouth? So we need to be watching our, anybody ever had that said to you, amen, in your days? And sometimes a parent will say, watch your mouth. Wash your mouth, amen? So that's if you say cuss words and you got to wash your mouth out with a bar of soap. Anybody experience the bar of soap in the mouth, amen? And so that means that will clean up your language, amen? And I love this because we are looking at a couple scriptures through this month, and we're focusing on these two scriptures, and then we're expounding on the power of words. And James, is the book of wisdom, and James is telling us that our words are likened to bits in a horse's mouth or a rudder to a ship. And like I said this last week, that your tongue is the steering wheel of your life. And so your tongue is going to steer you into a direction of life. And I don't know about you, but, you know, the Bible says that we can have good days. And I want to have good days and not bad days. Somebody say this. This year is one of the best years of my life. Amen. So you need to set your year up. Instead of saying it's going to be, it is. You're in a process of having a good year. And you're saying, I'm waiting on it, Pastor. But it's happening. Somebody say it's happening. You're having a good year this year because you're at Exceed Life Church. Amen. And you're exceeding in life. Amen. And so he says that your words can control your body. Your words are like a bit in a horse's mouth. It controls a huge animal or like a rudder of a ship. So really, you can dictate where you're going with the words that you speak on a day-to-day basis. Do you believe that today? So I want to direct my future for increase and not decrease. So I believe that we're moving into greater days. Say, I'm moving into greater days in my walk with the Lord. And so you got to believe that. Somebody say, I believe that. I love that. And so we need to be moving forward in our walk with God. And God's calling us not to stay at one point in our life. We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be moving forward. We're not supposed to be stagnant. So our words can cause us to move forward. I like what it says in Proverbs 18:20. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. So our lips are designed to speak increase and to live a fulfilled life. You believe that today? And then the key scripture is, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. So this is powerful. So these two verses, number one, it's saying right words spoken can bring satisfying life that's filled with increase. I'm going to say that again. Right words spoken can bring a satisfied life that's always filled with increase. You believe that today? When we're speaking the right words, amen? And also, when we speak the right words, we can speak blessing and increase. We can speak life instead of death, health instead of sickness, prosperity instead of poverty. So we need to be speaking these things to see these things come in our life. I believe this, that increase is coming to the body of Christ. How many people believe increase is coming to the body of Christ? And I believe that because I believe that God wants to do something amazing in the last days. I believe that there's a harvest of souls that God wants to bring in the last days. Somebody say it's about people. Amen. And God's all about people. Do you believe that today? When Jesus was on the cross, we were on his mind. You believe that? The harvest was on his mind. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it will produce many more grain. Amen. In other words, Jesus had to be planted and raised so that we could be raised up with him. Amen. And somebody say, I'm being raised up with him. Amen. I love this because, you know, Israel is likened to the church. If you ever study out Israel, you study out God's people in the Old Testament, it's a type of shadow of the church today. So you can see some of the things that Israel went through, the church goes through. You believe that today? Sometimes Israel goes through famine, and sometimes the church goes through some famine times. Sometimes the church goes through correction because God was always correcting Israel. Sometimes we go through correction. So you can take it as a template and look at Israel and what they did, and sometimes the church falls through in the same like manner. Do you believe that today? So we can get examples. We can get lessons from the Old Testament. Do you believe that? And I love this because God is always, you know, they were always going through something, and God was always saying to them that I'm going to do something. I'm going to say this. You might be going through something, but God is saying, I'm going to do something. You might be dealing with something, but see, that's not the final word. The doctor's report is not the final word. The banker's report is not the final word. The eviction notice is not the final word. God has the final word. Do you believe that today? And so I love this because every time Israel found themselves in problems, God would say, I'm coming to rescue you. And I'm going to say this to you today. God is coming to rescue you. God has a plan for your life. And you might be asking the Lord, are you sure about this, Lord? Are you sure about this plan? Yes, God has a plan for your life. Say, I believe that. And I love this in Joel. I don't read out of the book of Joel too often. And that's my brother's name is Joel. And I love the book of Joel. And I love this. And God is speaking to the children of Israel. He's speaking to us. He says, be glad. This is Joel 2, 23 and 24. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats so shall overflow with new wine and oil. I love that. And so what he's saying that there's a blessing. He says the former rain and the latter rain will come in the same month. What is he saying? He's saying he's preparing double blessing for the children of Israel. And I'm going to say this, that get ready for the double. Amen. Get ready for a double blessing in your life. I was at Starbucks the other day and I was ordering a drink. And I was thinking about the double. I was thinking about this. And they made me two of the same drinks. And they didn't realize it. And they gave me two of them. And I said, I only paid for one. They said, oh, we messed up. Go ahead, take it. Double. Double cappuccino. Double coffee. And I just said, okay, thank you. I'm a two-fisted drinker today. Amen. And so they gave me double. I mean, I was flying high that day. I had a lot of caffeine. Probably shouldn't have done it, but I need to cast out some of that caffeine. Amen. Be careful with the caffeine. It might make you a fiend. Amen. And so I believe that God wants to bring you into the double. He wants, you know, the Bible talks about for your shame, he will bring a double portion. Do you believe that? Whatever the devil's trying to take out of your life, whatever the deficit might be in your life, God wants to double you. Do you believe that today? Remember I said last week or a couple weeks that talk about increase? God doesn't just want you having one house. He may want you to have two houses. And that second house so you can share with the pastor, right? So he may be a house down in Florida, one up in the mountains. It's okay to have two, amen? And so God is in the idea of increase, amen? And so we need to do that. When the devil is trying to, you know, speak to us and tell us that we're decreasing, we need to start speaking increase into our lives. And one of the ways the devil works, and I haven't hit on this, is that the devil works through music. And what he tries to do is get some of us going back to maybe some of the old music we used to listen to when we were before we were saved. Get saved, you need to change your music. Why? Because music has the power to influence you. And if you're listening to old songs, it can get you in trouble. Because a lot of these songs have catchy tunes, and these catchy tunes can get you speaking the wrong things. So you want to speak the right things. Say, I'm going to speak the right things. There's an old song by the Beatles that goes like, I'm not going to try to sing it, but some of the chorus is, yesterday, things seemed to be better yesterday. Oh, I wish I was in yesterday. And I'm it's some, you know, and, but I don't think I'll ever get back to yesterday. And these are some of the lyrics in the song. In other words, it's like a sad song, you know, that I'm never, you know, all my troubles seem to go away. But I think I would long for yesterday, but I'm going to stay in my troubles today. And, you know, you're not going to stay in your troubles. But the world has a way of singing songs, and we can get back to singing these songs, and these words can bring us down instead of bringing us up. I want to encourage you to get some worship songs, get some songs that you can confess and sing and hook your heart to, amen? And then when you're singing worship songs, it will bring you up. It won't make you sad and depressed, amen? I love that. And so Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. He was one of the wealthiest and wisest kings raised up by God. And I love this because he had a lot to say in the book of Proverbs about words. So we're going to look at some of the things he has to say about words. In Proverbs 6:2, it says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. This verse is saying that really that our words can entrap us. That, you know, a lot of times we relegate being having problems with the things that seem to be attacking our life. You know, sickness, poverty, bad relationships. We relegate that to our problem, but really our problem could be with us agreeing with those things happening in our lives. Our problem could be that we are hooking up and saying what's happening instead of saying what we believe that we desire to happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And so we got to be very careful that we're not speaking rashly and speaking words that we don't mean. Have you ever spoke words you don't mean? You know, I call this a miracle church. And you say, Pastor, why do you call it a miracle church? Because God just, even though we may not have the numbers, we have the quality of people. Amen. Amen. We're the Gideon's army. And I'm telling you, Gideon, he didn't need the 10,000 soldiers or the 3,000 soldiers. It whittled down to 300 soldiers. And I have my Gideon army here. I'm not saying we're staying the same, but we're moving forward. We have enough people in this church to turn around the city of Virginia Beach. Amen. Do you believe that today? I'm telling you, I believe we have the power to do that. Amen. And so we got to believe that. And so I call this a miracle church because God, the finances come in every month. We're able to pay our bills every month. We exceeded our month last month. It was just amazing how God is moving. And you can look around and somebody say, and even some people said when Jesus came to Nazareth, can God do anything in Nazareth? One person said, God can do something great with somebody that believes. God can do something great in your life if you just only believe, if you just start speaking what you're believing God to do in your life, He's going to do it. Amen. See, I believe thousands are going to be coming into this church. And they're going to be coming and coming and coming, glory to God. And I'm telling you, we're going to have to get bigger buildings, glory to God. And we're going to have to enlarge our territory because they're coming. We might be in the cleft of the rock right now. We might be in a place of protection right now. I might be in a place of protection, but I'm telling you, we're getting ready. We're getting ready to get on TV. I believe we're going to be on national TV, and that's going to launch this ministry to the next level. Do you believe that today? I believe that. So I love this. So we got to be careful with rash words. In Proverbs 13:3, it says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." So this is a powerful verse saying that we need to be guarding our mouths, our words, because our words can hurt us. Our words can give the devil opportunity to work in our lives. Amen? And so we need to make sure that we're speaking the right words. Amen? I like what it says in Proverbs 18:7. It says, now this is powerful, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." And you know, I when I read the Bible, I don't like, it kind of bothers me when I hear the word fool. You know, I don't want to be in the category of fool. Anybody want to be in that category? Anybody want to be a fool in here? I'll be a fool for Jesus, but I don't want to be a fool for the devil. I don't want to be a fool for my words. I want to be a fool for Jesus. And he says, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare to his soul." So we need to realize this, that our words can cause us, you know, speaking the wrong things can be a foolish thing to do, and it could be our downfall. I like to take a scripture like this and invert the scripture. And if you invert the scripture, you can do what the scripture tells you to do, invert it. So this is how I wrote the scripture. This is how it says. It says, "A fool's mouth is his destruction." I put, "A wise man's mouth is his restoration." Amen. If a fool's mouth is his destruction, then a wise man's mouth is his restoration. Would you agree with that? And then he says here, his lips are the snare of his soul. And I wrote, "And his lips brings freedom to his soul." His lips bring freedom to his soul. So you can invert a truth. So if a fool's mouth is his destruction, then a wise man's mouth is his restoration. And a wise man's lips brings freedom to his soul. I love that. So we need to be practicing this. We need to be practicing when the devil tells you it's over, that you're not going to make it, that your life is over. You might speak a scripture that says this in Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." You might need to start speaking some scriptures out of your mouth when the devil tells you you're not going to make it. You might, let's say this out loud, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." I love that. And so it doesn't matter what the weapon may be formed, it cannot prosper against you. Why? Because God is for you. Maybe you're tackling a situation. Maybe God is telling you, "I want you to do something amazing in this life. I want you to do something that you've never done before." And you may be a little nervous about doing that. Or you may be nervous about maybe launching out maybe into a business. You ever had an idea about doing a business? Maybe doing something more than what you... Do some of you believe that you're made for more than where you're at right now? I hope some of you believe that you're made for more than where you're at right now. Hopefully, you're believing that there's more for your life than where you're at in this station of life. I'm going to say this to you today. You're just in a season of your life, but that season is just a season. You're moving to the next season. You're moving to higher ground. Amen. Say, I'm moving to higher ground. So when you're in, when you're dealing with seems like impossible odds, you might want to confess this scripture: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You might need to do that when you need a when you have a task, ladies, of cleaning the kitchen. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. Amen. I can do all things. Maybe, guys, if you got to clean that garage out, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So words have the power to hurt and words have the power to help. Do you believe that today? And I love this because it says here in Proverbs 12:6, it says the words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. So this is a powerful scripture. It says it in the New Living Translation. The words of the wicked are like a murderous ambush. That's pretty strong. Murderous ambush. But the words of the godly saves lives. So the wicked, man, can I get out of my seat this morning? The wicked always talks about, you know, they speak negative. A lot of the wicked speak negative. They talk about if they don't like somebody, they want to kill that person. I wish that person was dead. You should never wish anybody to be dead. You should never wish death on anybody. Glory to God. You might have said this before you got saved: I want to kill that person. Has anybody ever said that out of their mouth? I want to, before you got sanctified. You might have said, I want to kill you. Or maybe when you were young and you were a teenager or before you're, I want to, you know. Sometimes we say words we don't really mean. Amen. And so the wicked say words that are like murderous ambush. I like the New Century Version. It says the wicked talk about killing people, but the words of good people will save them. So what are we supposed to be doing? Well, there's a saying that goes like this. You may have heard it. Kill them with kindness. Has anybody ever heard that? Kill them with kindness. But that's a worldly saying. I'd rather say it this way. Heal them with kindness. Heal them. Not kill them with kindness. Heal them with kindness. Why? Because words have the power to either kill and destroy or heal and to deliver. You believe that today? So what do we want to do? We want to handle people with care because they're fragile. We want to make sure that we're speaking the right words. I went to the gym last night to work out, and they were having like a Halloween where they're giving out candy and all that. But I was able to get in there to work out, thank God. And it was around 6:30 at night, 7 o'clock. And so I got in there, and this lady came out. She was upset. I guess she works there. And I said, "Are you all right?" And she said, "Yeah, I just asked that man if he had an access to get in, because you have to have a 24-hour access after 4 o'clock. I have a 24-hour access. I have access." And it was funny because when I was walking in, there was a little girl that was in there. She says, "You're not allowed in here." And I looked at her and I said, "I have access." "Oh," she said, "oh, you got access." And I'm going to say this, that if you have the name of Jesus, you have access. If you have the name of Jesus, you have angels beckon at your call. If you use the name, you have access to the kingdom of God and the blessings of God. And this lady was crying, and she was kind of tearing up. I said, "You okay?" She said, "All I did was ask that man if he had access, and he yelled at me." And so this man that was a mean person, I wanted to talk to him. Amen. But the Bible talks about minding your own business, and it was already done. But and he was punching the heavy bag pretty heavy. But she was crying. I said, "God, you know," I said, "I'm a minister. I can pray for you. Are you okay?" She said, "Yeah, I'll be all right." And what I'm saying, our words can either hurt or our words can heal. And I want my words to heal, not to bring people down, but to bring people up. Amen. And I love this because, you know, to love something, you got to hate something. Now you say, "What, Pastor?" God loves and God hates. And some people say, no, only God loves. No, no. God hates lying. God hates stealing. God hates sin. There, you know, if you're going to love, if you're going to love on one side, you're going to have to hate on the other. If you're going to love God, you're going to have to hate sin. And so there's things that God loves and there's things that God hates. And this is interesting in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. This is what God hates. So you ready for this? Because we don't want to have God frown on our actions. And here he hates here, verse 16 of Proverbs 6, a proud look. So God doesn't like us looking down at people. So he doesn't like us looking down at people. No, no. We should have a merciful look and not a proud look. Amen. Amen. We should look at people with mercy, not proud and prideful. Like we're all that. We don't look down on people. You know, we don't know. We look, if we look at people, we look at them with mercy. And if they're doing wrong things, we look at them with pity. You're pitying them. Amen. Because they don't know any better. And so number two, and three out of these things that God hates has to do with our words. God hates a lying tongue. So God doesn't see. So as Christians, we don't lie. Amen. We don't lie. Amen. If you don't like the dress or something somebody's wearing, don't say, and you think it's ugly. You don't have to tell them it's ugly. You can say it's interesting. So you're not lying. You're just telling them it's an interesting, it's amazing look. You got an amazing look. You don't have to tell them it's ugly, but you can just change your word terminology. It's interesting. May not be your taste. But your taste may not be their taste. And your taste may not be a perfect taste. Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean it's right. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean your opinion is right. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So God doesn't like a lying tongue. So we want to be truthful in our words. He doesn't like hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Number five, feet that are swift to running to evil. And this, number six, a false witness who speaks lies. So he doesn't like people saying things about other people that aren't true. Are you hearing what I'm saying, Jay? And if you can, now somebody may be doing something and they might have sin in their life, but if you keep talking about their sin, you don't know if they repented of that sin afterwards. And you don't know if they're still doing it, and you keep talking about their sin, then you could be saying something that's not right. So we don't want to talk about people's problems, do we? And number seven, man, this is good, Pastor. This is good. I love this. Because if you focus on people's problems, spouses, if you focus on your spouse's shortcomings instead of what they do good, you're going to be negative towards them. So we want to focus on the good things and not the bad things. Amen. And because we're going to be speaking what we focus on. Amen. And number seven, one who sows discord among the brethren. So this is very important that we don't speak words that's going to cause division and cause downfall in people's lives. We don't want division. We want unity. Is that right? I love that. And Proverbs 21:23 says this, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Amen. And so we got to be very careful. And sometimes we want to speak. We hear something negative on the news. And the next thing you want to do is call somebody and talk to them about the negative thing you heard on the news. No, we need to be very careful that our conversations is not based on negativity, but it's based on blessings. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we're speaking the right things. Two things you should never say is always and never. That's right. Sometimes when we're talking to our spouse, you always do this. Or you never do that. Do we do that sometimes? And we got to be careful with the words always and never. I love that. Amen. And I love that because sometimes I would hit potholes on the road. And I tend to do that quite often. And I would say out of my mouth, I always hit potholes. Boom, boom. And I seem to be hitting the potholes. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So don't use the word always because it works. Amen. Amen. And the word never. In Matthew 26, 33 and 35, Peter was speaking to Jesus, and Peter declared, this is New Living Translation, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you will even know me. No, Peter insisted, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. All the other disciples vowed the same. So Peter was telling Jesus that he would never deny him. And what was he doing was he was speaking in his own pride. A lot of times we'll speak in our own pride. I will never do this. It's better to say, God, help me to never do this. Because you don't know, you know, you may say you never do this. And what do? You start doing it. Why? Because you're putting a law in your life. And when you put a law in your life, the flesh wants to break law. Is that right? When you put a law, I'm never going to eat another cupcake again in my life. And then the next day you're at work and the lady and one of your coworkers just made a whole thing of cupcakes, your favorite cupcakes. And you just say, I'm never going to eat a cupcake. Well, maybe just this once. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What are you doing? You're trying to put a law on yourself and you're putting faith in your ability. But I'm going to say this, put faith in God's ability to help you. Put faith in God's ability. Ask God to help you not to eat another cupcake. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Or you become a cupcake. Amen. And so I love that. So Peter said, I will never deny you. And then Jesus says to him, you are going to deny me. And then Peter still says, no, I'm not. You know. Think about this. If Jesus tells you you're going to do something, he knows your heart better than you know your own heart. And Peter was speaking out of his head, but Jesus knew his heart. And God knows our heart. Amen? Let's look at Psalms 106, 32 to 33. This is powerful. And this is talking about Moses. And Moses, would everybody agree with me that Moses had a close relationship with God? Would you agree with me there? And the Bible says that God spoke to Moses face to face. And he speaks to other people through people, right? Through prophecy. But God spoke with Moses face to face. So Moses had an awesome relationship. But even if you have an awesome relationship with God, can you mess up your relationship with God? Even if you have a good relationship with God, you can mess it up. What, Pastor? You can hurt your relationship with God. And Moses did that. It says here in Psalms 106, 32 and 33, it says, they angered him at the waters of strife, so it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. Talking about Moses spoke rashly with his lips. It says here in the CEV translation in 106:32, at Meribah spring they turned against you and made you furious. They made Moses furious. Then Moses got in trouble for speaking in anger. Amen. And so we need to be very careful that our words are not hooked up when we get angry. We need to be very careful with anger. Does anybody have any anger issues in the house today? Does anybody get upset real easy? You just say, I'm hot-blooded. You know, I'm just a hot-blooded person. That's my nationality. I come from a nationality of hot-blooded people. But you know, that's the flesh. No, you're meek. You're humble. You're easygoing. You let things go. You don't hold on to things. You don't harbor ill will or bitterness. And so let's look at this in Numbers, and let's just kind of review what happened to Moses. It says in Numbers 21 through 12, it says, then the children of Israel and the whole congregation came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. That's interesting that they talk about Miriam dying. And Miriam was Moses' sister. And does anyone remember reading about Miriam talking to Aaron and they were talking against Moses? Does anybody remember that story? They were talking against Moses and God heard them. And then God, you know, spoke to them. And then remember Miriam ended up getting leprosy for 7 days because she spoke against. We got to be very careful that we're not speaking against people that are authorities in our life. Amen. And so Miriam went home to be with the Lord. And so it says here, now there was no, that was free today. I'm not going to charge you for that one. Now there was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died with our brethren, died before the Lord. Why have you brought us, the assembly of the Lord, into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Is not a place of grain and figs and vines and pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So this is the problem sometimes when we're encountering problems in our life. And the Israelites were like this. Whenever they started seeing lack in their life, they started blaming the leader. They started blaming Moses and Aaron. And sometimes even as church people, if we're encountering problems, you know, the devil will say, it's that pastor. He keeps preaching these positive messages and you're going through problems. His messages aren't really true. You know, you got to suffer for Jesus. And the devil will work on you. And the devil will try to get you, you know, blaming others for your problems. And so these people were blaming Moses for his and Aaron for their problem. And they were saying, if we could only be back in slavery again. And so you know, when people talk bad, we got to step back and we got to get into prayer. And that's what Moses and Aaron did. They, as soon as they started speaking evil, Moses and Aaron went into the tent and prayed. And they prayed and they sought God. And so, and then God said, listen, I want you to do something. I want to, you know, they didn't have any water. They were thirsty. Their animals needed water. And they needed a miracle. And God told Moses to speak to the rock and to command water to come out of the rock. And so Moses came out of the tent. And what he said, what he did something different than what God asked him to do. What he did was he said to the congregation, should I bring water out of this rock, you rebels? And he called the children of Israel rebels. And then he took the staff, instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock twice. Now this is interesting because Jesus is the rock. Jesus is likened to the rock. He's the rock of all ages. Can anybody? And it's a type and shadow of Jesus. You see, there was a time when they needed water previously. And Moses and God told them to strike the rock one time before and water came out. It was a miracle. And so Moses, you know, he was upset. He was thinking back about what he did last time that caused the miracle to happen. He didn't think about what God told him to do, and he struck that rock twice, but God allowed water to come out. Amen. So what I'm saying, just because a person walks in miracles doesn't mean they're always doing everything right. Just because God might be backing the word doesn't mean that he's backing the minister. Just because a minister might be walking in miracles doesn't mean he's walking in character. Just because, why? Because God backs the miracle for the people, not for the minister that's giving out the word or doing the miracles. And so here, God, what he did was he allowed that miracle to go forth, but then God gave him, God judged Moses over this. And God told Moses that you will not enter into that promised land. So you will not enter into that promised land And you won't be able to bring the children of Israel into, you brought them out of slavery into the wilderness, but you will not enter the promised land because of this infraction that he did, that he didn't listen to God. And this is interesting, that the very thing that Moses called the children of Israel rebels, Moses became at that moment. He rebelled against God's word. The very thing you talk about, people, might be the very thing that you're doing. I'm preaching to somebody today. The very thing you're criticizing somebody about, you might need to look at yourself. You might need to see if there's something in you that it has the same propensity to do the same thing that they're doing. Be careful for judging others with what you're not doing, because you may be doing it tomorrow. And so Moses, you know, Moses said, "You rebels," and he rebelled. Now, God still loved him. God still forgave him. And God had they had a wonderful relationship. And Moses, you know, in some passages down in the scriptures, Moses is talking to God and says, "Lord, I love you. You're amazing. You do amazing things. Can I go into the promised land?" And God said, "No, don't talk to me about this again." What am I saying to you today? I'm saying that our words, that God has the very best, the abundant life for us. He wants us going to the next level. He wants the very best. But our words can keep us from moving in the very best that God has for us. It can disqualify us from the higher life that God wants us to walk in. And I don't want my words causing God to, or hindering God from moving in my life. I don't want God, my words to hinder. See, what was the problem with Moses was that he had anger issues. And he didn't control his anger. And God had to deal with Moses because of his anger issues. Remember the first time that Moses had an anger issue? He killed an Egyptian. Do you remember that? And then he ended up on the backside of a desert for 40 years. Then the next time that Moses got upset, what did he do? He broke the tablets. Do you remember that? He threw the tablets down. God didn't say anything. Let him go. He had to remake the tablets. But he broke the tablets. Amen? And then this is the third time, and then he rebelled against God. So three times. Right? Three strikes. So this was another time that Moses lost his temper and said, "You bunch of rebels, you know, shall I bring water out of this rock?" Bam, bam. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Sometimes we're trying to beat, you know, the blessings of God into our lives instead of speak the blessings of God into our lives. I bless God. I'm going to get this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. No, we need to praise God and not beat the blessings of God in our lives. We need to bless the blessings of God in our lives. He can try to beat it. Amen? And I'm saying this to you today is that we need to be very careful about anger in our lives. And we need to be very careful about being short-tempered in our lives. And it says here in Proverbs 14:29, I'm closing. It says, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." In Proverbs 19:11, it says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." His glory is to overlook a transgression. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool vents all his feelings." Notice this. "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." Oh, I'm just venting, Pastor. I'm just venting. Yeah, but it says here, a fool vents all his feelings. In other words, just because you have feelings, just because you have thoughts, doesn't mean you need to speak them out. Doesn't mean you need to let the floodgates go. Hallelujah. I love that. I love in Proverbs 16:32, it says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who takes the city." So what he's saying is that you are stronger if you can hold your peace than you taking a city down. Think about that. How many people have the power to hold their peace? To not say things when you know you can, when somebody says something to you and you want to come back at them. You need, has anybody been there? And you have, and you have the wordology. Can I use that word, wordology? You know how to say some really good words. You know how to speak it just right to put them in their place. So I'm going to say this: just because you have the power to say it doesn't give you the right to say it. Amen. And I love this, what it says in Ephesians. It says in 31:32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgave you. So he's saying, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. That's a lot right there. But he said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgave you. In other words, you're going to have to bear with some people. Not everybody you're going to agree with. Not everybody you have to love them, but you might not like them. It's okay not to like people, but you still got to love them. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? You may not like what some people do, but you need to love them because they're made in the image of God. And you need to love them and overlook some of their weaknesses. Because you might have a couple weaknesses. No, not me, Pastor. Not me. You might have some weaknesses. Amen. So I'm closing out by saying this. That if you're gonna control your words, you have to control your anger. And if you're going to control your anger, you're going to have to slow down. Somebody say, slow down. Slow down. And I love this because it says here, and I've given this before, it says, so then, brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I love that. And so I'm going to read the Amplified in this. It says, understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. Be careful, thoughtful listener. Slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words. And slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving. For the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, the standard of behavior which he requires from us. Amen. That's powerful. Amen. So we want to be thoughtful. We want to think about what we say. We want to slow down when things are coming at our way. We need to slow down and think about it. Remember Jesus, when they cornered Jesus and they threw that lady that was caught in adultery right in front of them. And they said, you know, the law says stone her. And Jesus just took back, knelt down and started writing on the sand. Why? He wasn't quick to say anything. Jesus just stepped back to wait to hear what the Father had to say. And Jesus waited on the Father. Sometimes we don't wait. Sometimes we just go off and move forward without waiting on the Lord. And I'm going to say this to you today, that if you just learn to slow down when things are happening, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, I'm telling you, then you have the righteousness of God working in your lives. I want to close this sermon out by having you pray this simple prayer. Amen. This prayer will help you to keep your mouth in check, to watch your mouth. Just bow your heads this morning and say this out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm asking you that you would put a guard over my mouth and keep a watch over the doors of my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. God is so good. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness this morning. I thank you that you're helping us, Father God, to be meek and humble people, to be people that are peacemakers. I thank you, Father God, for those that are here in the audience today, those that are watching or listening, and perhaps you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. The power of words has the power to confess the Lordship of Jesus. And when you do that, you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're ready to do that, to bring Jesus as King in your life, just say this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. Say, Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.